So recently I had the opportunity, our good friend David Matlau, who's going to join us in a second, has the world's largest Herzl collection. If you don't know who Herzl is, Google it. And certainly make sure that the teachers in your school are telling the kids who Herzl is. So he has the largest Herzl collection. We've discussed this many, many times on this show. And now Herzl has come to New York City. The Stryker Cultural Center on the Upper East Side of Manhattan has an exhibit that opened in September and that goes until the end of January. It's called All About Herzl. And it's at the Herbert and Eileen Bernard Museum, Stryker Cultural Center again in New York, until January the 23rd. It's open every Sunday through Thursday from 10 until 4. And I had the opportunity to see it. And it is pretty amazing to see all these items that are on display, which are a reflection of the dreams and hopes and aspiration of somebody who did not live with a state of Israel. It's hard for us sometimes as we tour these types of exhibits to remember that for Herzl, it was just a dream. For Herzl, it was a concept that he was praying would actually happen one day, and he was convinced it would. It's one of the reasons he's buried in Israel, because he was sure there would be a state. Anyway, David Matlau, who, of course, is 99% responsible for this exhibit, is with us live via telephone. David, what a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, and it was a pleasure to take you through the exhibit. I guess it was in September at the opening.
That was wonderful. And David, I'm sure you've thought of this a million times. You surround yourself with Herzl. How can you not? You have to walk into, you know, the couple of museum halls that the items are in. You have to walk in and you have to start reminding yourself that all of this was done pre-state, that all of this was done when he was just dreaming and convening congresses and trying to convince other members of Jewish leadership and governments that there's a need for and this dream could actually come true of having a state of Israel. I think it's one of the most important things to try to get yourself into the historical context of the entire exhibit.
I totally agree. This exhibit was planned with the Bernard Museum and the curator Warren Klein before October 7th. After October 7th, I checked in with Warren to say it's even more important to do this now. Are you still wanting to do it? And they said, of course we are. It's really important. Given what we've seen, I live here in Toronto, so we're having our struggles with anti-Semitism. We saw what happened in Europe, the soccer game in Amsterdam. Obviously, there's issues on college campuses in America and other issues, and the anti-Israel venom that we're experiencing. And part of it is pure hatred, and part of it is total misunderstanding. And so the Herzl exhibit is an opportunity to understand what the point of the exercise was that Herzl initiated by creating political Zionism and envisioning the Jewish state, which became the State of Israel. It was a solution to anti-Semitism. It was an idea that he wrote down and he worked and advocated for. And it's important to refresh our memories for those of us who know, and to teach for those who don't know what the idea of Israel was. It's obviously our Israel's detractors, haters, malevolently define it in things that it's not: colonial, settler colonialism, apartheid, all this nonsense. And you need to look what Herzl envisioned, what he planned, and the work that went into it, the need that he saw, the need we still have, and it's reflective in real stuff from my collection that's on display in New York. And you can see the planning, the work, the idea, the effort, how remarkable a person this was, how he was marked and memorialized during his life and afterwards, and that the torch is passed to us to learn about Herzl and communicate his message of the right of the Jewish people to have a state of Israel, which was what Herzl envisioned and worked towards.
You know, you and I and many others grew up in homes and were educated in institutions where, you know, the name Herzl was quite common, meaning that it was, you know, something that we were all taught, the history through his biography, the history of that period of time, and obviously the founding of the state, etc. Sometimes we forget that a large, I don't want to say majority, but I have a feeling it is majority of, you know, the next generation are not familiar with his life, are not familiar with his efforts, are not even familiar with the fact that there was a time there wasn't the state of Israel. So I know you want everyone to come see the exhibit. I get that, and I'm recommending it, having seen it. But you really want to see the schools come and tour and hear from the curator and learn a little bit about the history and have their teachers enhance their Jewish history and Israel courses with a visit to the museum. With that in mind, David, what's the easiest way for somebody, a principal, a teacher, somebody in the world of education, what's the easiest way for them to pursue a tour of the All About Herzl exhibition?
The curator is a gentleman named Warren Klein, and his email address is wklein, W-K-L-E-I-N, at emmanuelnyc.org. I'm thrilled to say that to date we've had about 30 group visits.
Wow.
Yesterday I was told that a diverse group of students from the University of Connecticut came and toured and were very moved and impressed. And in fact, public schools are arranging to have tours. The Ramaz School has had a tour already. And I know there are many, many Jewish day schools in the New York, Long Island, New Jersey area. Please come arrange a tour. I myself, I'm going to be in New York on December 10th and 11th. So if anyone wants me to take them through, then please arrange with Warren. But it doesn't need to be me. Warren Klein takes people through the exhibit regularly. And so please make arrangements. I think there's at least 10 plus more tours and groups coming, and the schedule is getting filled up. So please, it's so important to learn about him, to see what he did, and even the visual of more than 100 items of Herzl or with his likeness will give you the impression of how important a person this was.
It's funny because, you know, when it comes to trying to put on display somebody's life, you know, especially, you know, so many years later, very often there's a lack of items. Very often there's, you know, there's only a limited number of artifacts that could tell the story. You have to admit, for somebody who was living in Europe, died young, had very few relatives, and then had a couple of world wars in between, you have to admit it's pretty amazing how many things survived, no?
Yes, and it's a reflection of how important he was. And he understood marketing and branding, you know, obviously before the internet and television, maybe the early days of radio, but he wanted to imprint in the Jewish people's mind the possibility that the future can be better than the present. I picture Anatevka and what it was like there, not just London and Paris and Vienna. And so symbols and literature and articles and photographs, he harnessed all of the technology that was available at the time to try and inspire the Jewish people towards his ideal and to convince the non-Jewish world of the need and the merit and the right of the Jewish people to have this homeland. So that's why there's so many items with Herzl on it. And I should say in the exhibit are also items from the Central Zionist Archives in Jerusalem and YIVO, including Herzl's teenage handwritten diary, has been graciously loaned by YIVO, who's an office in New York, to be on display at the exhibit.
So I can't give you 99%. You have to share the credit with some others who have been very generous.
Well, 99% of the material is mine, but there are other people who have augmented and added luster to the exhibit by their contribution.
And on your marketing point, it's not a stretch, therefore, that statues and unique types of paintings and drawings and socks, as we've joked, but there's a reality because there are Herzl socks, and you know, public schools being named for him, and so many items. I mean, the list goes on and on. So many items, most of which you own, you know, that feature him. It's not that irony is not lost, because if anybody, as you just described to us, would appreciate the fact that his brand has lasted and continues to spread over all these years, it's him, right?
Right, and especially now, because the Judenstadt, the book that Herzl wrote, I think there's versions in five languages in the exhibit, first editions, but the book that he wrote, the Judenstadt, was a modern solution to the Jewish question.
Right.
Herzl was striving to find a solution to the anti-Semitism that he experienced in Europe, and that he knew was going to engulf European Jewry, which sadly we understand and know today with the benefit of hindsight and history that it did. And so the point that the Jewish people have a right to be safe and secure in our own homeland was something that needs to be continued to be emphasized today. That was Herzl's idea, and it is as relevant in 2024 as it was in 1896 when he first took the Judenstadt.
Amazing. I can't recommend this highly enough. The exhibit's called All About Herzl. Arrange your group tour, especially to schools out there. I'm begging the principals and teachers who really want to impress the students with a robust view of what Herzl was all about. Arrange a tour. It's on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Speak to Warren Klein. His email address is wklein@emmanuelnyc.org. wklein@emmanuelnyc.org. And it's at the Bernard Museum of Judaica. The website's pretty easy. emmanuelnyc.org/museum. emmanuelnyc.org/museum, and it is the Stryker Cultural Center that hosts the All About Herzl exhibit. It goes until the 23rd of January. As you heard, David Matlau is in the 10th and 11th of December, if that's an added bonus that you'd like to take advantage of, and certainly the curator is available for the group tours, and you are allowed to go without a group. You can just walk in and see what it's all about, and really get a tremendous perspective of that period of time and the whole concept of what Herzl was trying to, and eventually, after his lifetime, accomplish. David Matlau, is there anything else you'd like to add, sir?
I would just like to say, you can't miss it. If you're on 65th Street, there is a giant flag of Herzl flying above the street, which has been promised to me for my collection after the exhibit closes. So look for the giant Herzl flag, and please, it's a great opportunity for the New York area students and everyone else to come and learn about Herzl, and bring allies, bring your non-Jewish friends, direct your non-Jewish friends. So you don't have to be Jewish to love Herzl and to understand what he tried to do.
And by the way, if you want to take a photo, I'm not going to give too many details because I don't want to, you know, I want people to anticipate, but if you want to take a photo on the balcony with Herzl, you have the ability to do that as well.
There is something for everyone at All About Herzl. It's literally all about Herzl.
David, God bless you. Thanks so much, my friend.
Thank you very much. Have a good day, everybody.
Have a great day. David Matlau, everybody. Check it out. Till mid-January, All About Herzl. Stryker Cultural Center, 65th and 5th. I went, and it's pretty amazing. More coming up. It's Monday. It's JM in the AM.